This is Derivative.
If you want to skip the rest of this, you do that with my blessing.
I tend to say the same thing.
It's Derivative.
These maniacal fans, and they write jingles.
I don't see the point in writing your own show when you can pinch somebody else.
I hope it's smart and funny.
It's the dumbest show.
So, I mean, what's the interest of
naked old men eating dinner?
It is bad, and it is done with total confidence.
I'm original, uninspired.
I'm derivative as hell.
This is Derivative. I am Jerry S. Negrelli, singer-songwriter, Annandale, Virginia. Welcome to the show. So I hope you heard in that intro bumper there that there's a new Gary clip inserted there. On today's Tony Kornheiser show, Gary said, "It's Derivative," referring to Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter, Lexington, Kentucky. And I actually had forgotten that Gary and I agreed back in July he was going to record an intro bumper for this show to say the word derivative or something to that effect. And he forgot about it, I forgot about it, and it wasn't until today when I heard him say that word and said, oh, I wonder if that was a subversive way of answering the mail on that, just putting that word in there. It turns out it's a total coincidence, but I was able to put it in there. So some of you may be tuning in hoping to hear that elusive shadow in the Geyser of Death episode. That is now the Chinese democracy of my career. It's coming. I had forgotten how much work that was. I realized now, as I've been mixing it, that the first time I did that, I did three, like, five-minute mini shadows and then put it all together in one episode towards the end. But I was doing these little tiny bits just as kind of filler or backdrop to the TK Jingles podcast. And those took me a damn long time anyway. I probably spent 2 or 3 hours on each one of those. They're like 5 minutes long. So just to put together like a 20 or 30 minute show, it's going to be a chore. But stay tuned. It's written. It's 99% recorded. I just got to put it together. It's just taking me forever. I've mentioned before, I'd love to hear your reviews on iTunes. I wanted to read a few now. These always, when they're nice, are heartwarming, and I really appreciate them. So you can get a little sticker pack emailed to you with a Derivative sticker and a Grelly sticker and a Tony Kornheiser Show sticker. I've got a whole bunch of things. I'll pack them up and send them to you if you leave me a review and then send me an email to let me know. But here's two of them that I thought were really nice. If you don't want a sticker, just leave a review and let me know what you think anyway. I prefer them to be nice, but they can also say, hey, stop talking so damn much, or, you know, whatever your feedback is. I don't, you know, I'd like to hear it. But I would hope you'd like this show if you're listening this long. So here's a review from KitKat1404. It says, I've always loved the jingles on the TK show and was looking forward to hearing more on this show, and it doesn't disappoint. Listening to some of the inspirations and processes for the songs is fun. It's only been around a short time, but I look forward to the show every week. So thank you. I really appreciate that feedback. If you happen to be new to the show, you know, we have 150-plus episodes of the old show and the old ones. I encourage you to listen back to some of those. There's some really great episodes early on describing the beginning of TK jingles and writing all these things in the first place. If you're a longtime listener and just happened to write that nice review, I appreciate that as well. So again, if you'd like to receive some stickers or just want to make me feel good and know that somebody else is out there listening to this, please leave a review on iTunes. Let's get on to today's show. So living with sciatica has been a big hit, and Tony's health travails have entertained us all. But it seems like he's falling apart by the day. There's been a recent chatter about having a cyst on the back of his knee that causes a dripping sensation in the back of his leg, like a rush of blood. It sounds freaking horrible. And he made the comment that he's falling apart. So I then spent some time trying to brainstorm what would be a good song about falling apart, and how can I pay homage to Tony's continuing deteriorating health? So this is my attempt to pay homage to all those little details.
Hey, my back is aching and there's pain running down my leg. I can't walk. My knee is aching and there's fluid running down my leg. It won't stop. I'm falling apart. I think I'll spend I went to see the doctor to give me a script. She said, now listen here, Tony, you got a disc that slipped. I hear you love to play golf. You gotta quit, cause your next swing could break your hip. I said, my leg is aching, fluid's running down my leg, drippity drop, hey, I'm falling apart, and soon there will be nothing left. like I'm dead.
Drippity Drop. That is a parody of my favorite ever singer, Dion DiMucci, in Drip Drop. Now, his version is actually a cover of the Drifters, who did the original song, so you could say that's a bit derivative, but it's also, it has a sound that's just so uniquely Dion. Dion is just such a signature artist of that late 50s, early 60s period, and I love all the different eras of his career, that one in particular, when he was covering all those songs like Ruby Baby and Drip Drop. So today's episode, I'm going to focus on a topic builds here, but visiting Tony. So if you haven't heard, Tony has invited you to join for a live taping at Clyde's, and this is happening on October 16th. But what's so weird about it is, like, I don't want to be critical, so I assume this was a bit. I think they were trying to, like, do a scatological jokey promo or something, because it just made no sense. But on an episode earlier this week, when they announced they were doing the live show at Clyde's, they started by saying the show won't be ticketed, and then they questioned themselves, well, maybe ticketed, the guys at Clyde's want to ticket it, well, we'll have to check with them, but it won't be, it'll be free. And then they said it's going to be Wednesday, October 16th, and then Michael jumped in and said, oh, you're sure it's Wednesday, because the last email that we got from the manager said they wanted to do it on Thursday, and then Tuesday said, oh, yeah, yeah, but I can't do Thursday, I have to go to the gym, so we'll just go Wednesday. And then somebody said, oh, well, we might want to confirm that. So even the date then is wrong. They don't really give a time when you should get there. They mentioned they'll start recording at 7:40, but how many chairs are there? Who knows? Nigel inserts a joke when they say they're doing it at Clyde's, says, oh, did you mean Claude's? And that just muddies the waters even further, because there are like 14 Clyde's franchises or something like that around this area. So while it's funny, it's already going to be hard enough to know which Clyde's to go to without saying Claude's for people that aren't familiar with the place. And so anyway, the next day they repeated some of those details and called on the Littles to help get the word out. So that's what I'm doing today. So the details, as far as I know them, despite that completely confusing promo, there will be a free non-ticketed show that will be taped at the Clyde's in Friendship Heights on Wednesday, October 16th at 7:40 a.m. I think you can probably get there like chatter around 7 to 7:30 to be there in time for the show. It's so early in the morning. I really hope they draw some people. Like, I want the live show to be a thing. I'm not going to go to 7:40 a.m. shows. That's just really hard to get up there from where I live. I hope enough people do, and people that are in town for vacation when these spontaneous things are planned, that there's enough notice to work your schedule around it. I wish that when they would do pop-ups, they would do like a Monday night or a Thursday night, like do it at the time when people could get there after work. Although at that time, I'm sure Tony's already, you know, going to bed, or maybe even on a weekend, you know, make it, if they want to just do a ticketed show on a Friday night, that would be great. I know they don't want to try to change the structure or whatever, but, that to me would really warrant doing these live shows, other than the ability just to kind of meet and greet fans, which everybody loves. But for their own purposes, I feel like if they really want to draw a crowd, they got to find some way to do a little bit differently there. I wish them nothing but the best. They've said that if the 7:40 a.m. show doesn't draw a crowd, they'll only do it once. So I hope there's like 50 people there or something. Like at Chatter, there were some great days at that place, despite all the limitations of that restaurant. So nothing but the best.
This year's show is gonna suck. You should have come last year, that was good. It was raining, and yet it all worked out. Now we got Littles flying in. There's nowhere to go but down.
So Tony encouraging people to come visit them for their show got me to thinking about the first time that I was invited to visit Tony's show. And that actually coincides with something that happened on today's episode of somebody doing a live writing and performance in the show. And I'll get to that a little bit later. But when I was first invited to do the show, I think it was because I had done, I don't know, 5 or 6 jingles in a few days or something like that, where there was a flurry of content that they happened to like. They said, oh, we got to get you down here. So Gary contacted me and said, come visit the studio. And so I arranged to go down there. It was in November, I think, of 2013. It's crazy. It's been almost 6 years this thing's been going. And so when I got down there, this was in Rockville, the old Red Zebra Studios, the Dan Snyder ESPN 80 station. And if I remember, I think Gary greeted me. Mark might have been there too, but I got there. They were already doing the show because Mark had told me to come late. I think they didn't want me like sitting in for 2 hours and potentially ruining the show if I was a psycho. So I got there late. They were nearly done. Gary came out while they were doing the news or whatever bit they were doing and gave me a tour of the office, took me over to the coffee machine, asked me about what I did for a real job, and did a bit of like a pre-prep interview just to make sure, again, that I'm not crazy. Because who the hell is this guy sending in all these TK jingles every day? I mean, at that point, I mean, I think I was sending in 3, 4, 5 a week. I mean, I was just flooding the zone because to me, I was very worried that if I didn't do that, these songs, it would just be the end of it. That if we didn't have these mailbag faxes, notes, parodies, that would be the end. Speaking of that, I'd like to play a little segue here. Back then, 2013, the jingles were parodies, maybe of popular music, but it was all about emails, faxes, and notes. And one of my favorite things to do was to do style parodies of Gary's original song. So I want to play one that aired a few days ago by Bill Pitcher. And this is awesome. This is so vintage. This is just takes me back to that time, 2013, when this is all we were striving to do was just make them smile with some little iteration or, you know, slight change to Gary's mailbag song. So here's Bill Pitcher with this awesome Under the Big Top organ performance. That was so good. And there was a period of time when that was all we were doing, was just those types of parodies. And it never would have sustained a show like this. I mean, every jingle would be 15 to 20 seconds. I would need to have like 600 per episode to produce anything that was worth listening to. So thank God we moved on from that point. But it brings me such a smile to have those throwback songs. And I know they've been featuring them a lot lately because they can let them skip the legal review and they don't have to deal with all that nonsense. So melancholy versions of the mailbag and style versions are back in vogue right now, which is totally cool with me. I hope we still find a place to put in all the parodies as well. So anyway, I mentioned Gary brought me in and became my favorite person on the show right there, just in the way that how welcome he was. And then went into the studio and sat in the corner quietly while they finished their segment. Then I got to meet Tony and Gene was there and Mark and it was great. They were just so warm and friendly. They offered me some bagels. They insisted I have some food. I felt like I was visiting somebody's house. And Gene was especially just very kind and welcoming. And then I'll never forget one of the things that she did then was looked at her watch and said, oh, I have to leave. I have an appointment or something. And at the time, it seemed odd that she would just duck out before the show was over. And when she did that, the studio was very small. Then Tony said, oh, hey, why don't you sit in Gene's chair before we do the mailbag segment? I want to talk to you and get on the microphone. And so I think that, again, this was all, and I could be misreading this, but this was my take on it. It was just part of their vetting process. So after Gene left, then Tony invited me over to the chair and interviewed me about TK jingles and the process and that whole thing. And it was really surreal. And I've never listened to it. I felt like so uncomfortable after it was over, like, oh God, I probably sounded like an idiot. So even though I've done a zillion of these podcasts, I've never wanted to go back and listen to myself talking during that segment just because I had no idea what I said. And I had asked multiple times if I could perform a jingle live. That's what I wanted to do. When Gary invited me to the show and I followed up with Mark and coordinated everything, I asked him several times, can I perform a jingle live in the studio? And I was told maybe. But then the day before, or a few days before, Mark emailed me and said, nah, our space just isn't going to work for that. You'll see when you get here. Just come here and have fun. We don't want you doing any songs in the studio. And so when I was done with that little interview, I went down to the parking garage at Red Zebra and performed this song live just so I could claim that I had performed a song live at Tony's show.
Nigel and Gary said we'd love to meet you, bro. So I
I drove down to Rockville, now I'm at the studio. I toured the bullpen, saw all the swag they've got. Couldn't sing on the air, so I'm out in the parking lot. Love to write these jingles, but in the end I know this is Tony Kornheiser's show.
So the day I recorded that, I tweeted out that, hey, I just performed a song live at the show, and that was the hottest track in the history of the website. Now, I didn't actually get to perform it in the studio, but for a short period of time, that thing was even bigger than We Didn't Start the Fire or anything. But after I performed that song and tweeted that out and was recapping my experience, I think I went over to Bagel City to recover or something, have a little breakfast. And then I drove home, and on my drive home, I was inspired to write the following jingle that described my experience that morning. So within the 20 or 30 minutes driving home, I recapped what I had experienced in this song.
Anthony works on a radio show where Nigel is like a whirling dervish. Oh, and Gary and Jeannie are pleasant, and so Tony comes off as quite churlish. Oh, he can't play his iPod in his Cadillac. Clippy, please help him out. If he can't listen to Three Dog Night, then why'd he spend all that cash, homie? Oh, and I can't begin to understand why. Oh, he can't turn his iPod on. Oh, he can't turn it on, even though it never turns off. Oh, iPods don't turn off. I don't get it. Woohoo, Tony, what the hell?
So that day in the studio, Tony was talking about his iPod, how he didn't know how to turn it on when he got into his car. And that was the old guy radio segment. That was the only thing I was able to actually sit in for. And I wrote that on the drive home, as I said. So that got me thinking, you know, not only should I record a song live in the studio, but I should write one of these jingles live. Do the old guy radio segment first. Let me leave the room for 20 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever it takes you to do the rest of it. I'll come back and I'll play it for you in the mailbag. So I tried. I pitched that idea 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. I visited the studio many times over the next several years. And every time Mark would kind of hold me at arm's length and say, yeah, it's just not going to work. And so I finally gave up. I stopped asking. After asking so many times, like, all right, well, obviously they're not into this idea. So whatever, you know, they don't want to do that. That's fine. So when in the last week or so, this other musician said, hey, I want to come in and sing a song live. And then I saw he was actually doing it today. I was so jealous because that's what I had done. So I guess I kind of did it already with moving out, but to actually sit there and be writing on the side and then, you know, perform it and everything would have been so much cooler than this. And I saw that in response to this whole announcement, there was a tweet by Lipton or Berg that they had planned to do a collaboration in the same style. And, you know, Lipton is the king of the turnaround, so I'm sure that would have worked out great. But for whatever reason, they couldn't coordinate their calendars to do that. I had no idea that was ever in the works. So I would have been even more jealous of those two guys doing that. Because that's what I always wanted to do. But anyway, I think that song today was pretty funny, and that turned out great. I'm glad that worked out. As I think Tony said during the announcement that they were going to do that has such the potential to be a disaster, but I think it turned out to be really funny, and I'm glad that was finally able to happen after 6 years of jingles, and then, you know, going back even four, 20 years ago or so to teach Apple Aldridge and all the original jingles way before I was ever involved, just to have that finally fulfilled on the show, I think is such a cool thing.
If you plan to be in DC and you want to see the station, you should ask and you might get an invitation. Turns out Mr. Tony's really nice, especially on days he's lucid. You might be afraid you'll say something stupid. If they put you on the air, will you listen to it?
One of the benefits of having done 500 or 600 jingles at this point, and I'm not exaggerating, it's just an insane number of songs, I've lost count, is that there's, like Donald Trump's tweets, there's one for every occasion. So that song there, I forgot I'd even done. And as I was telling that story, I realized, oh, you know, I think I did something about visiting the studio and visiting Tony's show. That would fit in nicely. So I've done a lot of songs, but one I have not been able to do yet is Something Good about the Simply Safe read. And it is my biggest failing so far in the jingle time of writing something. And the thing I want to write about is not their technology, but their insane marketing writing, because it's just so incredibly stupid. So if you have ideas, help me out here. If you have an idea for a jingle about the 83% of burglars that check for an alarm, or the 17% that are too stupid to do it, I think there's a lot of songs that have the word 17 in them that might fit, but I think the 83 is the funnier number. Please send me the idea, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. Let's work together. We're going to crack this nut. But in the meantime, Andrew in Dearborn, Michigan, had this amazing AC/DC jingle on the show this week about their video verification technology. And this is a great send-up as well. I don't know where this idea came from. The performance is just so inspired. I love this. Wanted to share it here with you. This is Andrew in Dearborn, Michigan with VVT.
How do we spell simply, boys?
We spell it with an I.
You're checking out my home. You're trying to do my property harm. If in you break, it's your mistake. There won't be no false alarm. If you try to burglarize, you're headed for disaster. 'Cause I got a little something right here. Makes the cops come 3.5 times faster.
Video verification technology.
I got VVT. Technology.
VVT.
Protecting me.
VVT.
You're looking great.
VVT.
Smile for News Channel 8.
Yo, VVT.
The backup vocals on that were so damn funny. Oh my God. I muted myself listening to that there just so I wouldn't ruin the track. That was classic. Hats off to you, Andrew. That was so freaking good. If you've been a longtime listener of Little Songs and TK Jingles before it, I'm sure there are times when a jingle pops into your head, and I'm no exception. There's a song John Fitzpatrick did to the tune of Jason Isbell's How to Forget that popped into my head a few days ago, and it's been stuck there. I wanted to share it with you here because John is just so funny and does such great performances and was really missed at this past year's Jingle Fest. So here is John Fitzpatrick with How to Forget, and then I'll probably throw in a few more classic John songs just to help round this out so it's just not all Jerry talking and singing his own crap. Here's some awesome stuff by John Fitzpatrick.
In your face, with each screed, a little airtime's all he needs. Got a shouter here, a little feed, a lot of wine, and he'll be yakking the whole time. A good bit's out of fear. He won't stop telling stories, swears most of them are true. A few of them work best when he works blue. Comments strained, a weak gad, didn't mean to sound that bad, it was years ago. It happened quick, headlines flared, so they kept him off the air a few weeks or so. His blasts go out on TV, broadcasts and falls asleep just after eating ice cream by the sink. They haven't fired him yet. It's still a pretty safe bet. It's just a matter of time, I'm guessing. They haven't fired him yet. It's still a pretty safe bet. It's just a matter of time, I'm guessing. So now we're talking about art history. Why is some kind of mystery? Rambling on about how portraits looked. Already talked about the fish Mike cooked. We can all tell football season's through. That leaves then go for Tony and his crew. What a nominal sports show this is. Now I know TK was not an art student. Just who's he trying to be? Cause when your name dropping Paul Gauguin, Tony, you can hear all the listeners flee. Don't know much about Michelangelo. Probably mispronounce Vince Van Gogh. Don't know much about Sal Dali. Know even less about Da Vinci. But I do know that's a stretch for you. There's other topics you should get back to. Please do the nominal sports show you do. Need more diners here, can't you see? Need more diners to feed the bottom line. Just make your way here to Friendship Heights. Open for breakfast plus some other times. As for us, we're all at the Palm. How does this work? Do we need a tagline? Bring your kids, hey, bring your mom. Here's a coupon, you can take the red line. Chatter needs some advertising. Your idea's gotta be better than mine. Come up with advertising. Radio's dead, must be something online. The podcast of morning. Catering to new Epicurean habits, straying far from those newspaper days. Serving up some lamb speedies and the cheesery. Connie Chung has got your tab and hey, Junior's clearing trays. So instead of all those Pulitzer dreams, you wanna entice media elite with a martini, some linguine, please no kale or beets. Maybe that son of yours can smoke some meat. Cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights. Got the Blue Apron, a recipe for jasmine rice. A jersey from OV, one with pinstripes from Bryce. Come get a cheeseburger in Friendship Heights. They make fries like those in bowling alleys. Rascals on the jukebox right next to Frankie Valley. Coach Gary's hawking sweatshirts, Maury serving beers. Well, good God almighty, this won't last a year. Who needs cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights? Allen pounding doers like some meat that's no ice. Better damn well get ready to pay full price for those cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights. I said cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights. Yeah, that's cheeseburgers in Friendship Heights.
John Fitzpatrick, just so smart, funny, and on point with those performances. I wanted to give a quick update on Jingle Fest and all that stuff. So I am, after this episode records, or is recorded, I will go and make the final orders. So I usually work with this t-shirt company out of Chicago because they're really high quality, they have a great price, and I've worked with them for 6 years, so I really like to work with them. Unfortunately, the artwork I got for Jingle Fest 6, as you probably know, I think I've talked about it before, I went through 6 or 7 different iterations with different designers and ultimately had to design the thing on my own, like on a napkin, and send it to an artist of like, here's what I have in mind and can you draw this? And this person was had advertised that they did t-shirt designs, but they don't do screen print 3 or 4 color t-shirt designs like I've always done and like Jeff Jones does. They do like really detailed things. So when I sent it to my print shop, the price they quoted me per shirt was like 3 or 4 times more than I usually pay. And essentially it would have been having the Kickstarter be at cost. So I would have made about $1 for every pledge, which would defeat the whole purpose. And then, you know, Jingle Fest just wouldn't happen. So I have decided for the main shirt, I am going to go with Custom Ink, which I don't prefer to do because that's a big commercial entity. But we'll be doing the main shirt through them because I've got about 100 shirts to print. And they can do it for about maybe almost twice what I usually pay. So it's still not a good price because there's like 13 colors in this design. But it's better. And I'd rather do that than compromise on the quality or do some garbage thing. We'll figure out how to make up for that in the meantime. I mean, if you want to back on the Patreon or do some other thing, that's awesome. But we'll figure that out later. The tickets hopefully will help cover some of that stuff at the Jingle Fest. But that is going to be ordered tonight. So if you've ordered a Jingle Fest shirt through the Kickstarter or Patreon or whatever else, you should have it in your hands by November. And many of you are excited about that. Many of you say, oh, I've got 6 shirts already. Just hold on to that in your attic. But I'm not ordering a bunch of extras. So if you want one of those things, please go to littlesongs.net/store and buy one. I've got a couple extra in every size, just because I want to accommodate the procrastinators, because there are always a few, and I hate to leave anybody empty-handed. So check that out. And I don't think I have anything else today. This episode of the podcast is just about done. I wanted to share that one new song I was working on, let you know that The Shadow is coming, hopefully this weekend maybe, or next weekend. I just need to have like 4 or 5 solid hours with nobody around to mix this darn thing so I can release it to you, because it's done. I just got to put it together, and that takes a long time to do. So hopefully we'll get that going soon. I love your feedback, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. Leave a review on iTunes. If you like this, if you don't like this, that will be probably just as entertaining. If you're listening this long, though, I would imagine you like it. If you don't like what I'm doing, you're listening this long, Jesus Christ, you must be a member of the cesspool. On that topic, one last thing. I commented last week about the cesspool, how I go there for ideas. And Mike from Burke's posts are always very inspirational for jingles. But there are other posts that aren't. The cesspool is particularly hard on Joe Arrow, for instance, and they have their own little code when Joe has a song on the show and they alert each other and trash talk him. So if you want to stick up for the jinglers and you disagree with some of that stuff, feel free to also go over there and join that conversation. And, you know, let folks know, or just send Joe a note or other folks that trash on there, because they're pretty harsh on just about everybody. I've had some harshness, but I think Laheka and Mike and others have shouted that down, so that's eased a bit there. I think people bite their tongue, even though they may resent me or dislike me. They don't come at me directly too much anymore. But others that don't have that same kind of gallery or whatever, maybe get talked down. It really sucks, because I know that, again, you know, folks are trying to express their frustration with things they don't like on the show or whatever else, but, you know, they forget that people are actually real people and not cartoon characters, so they can be a little bit carried away and inconsiderate of other people's feelings. So anyway, if you ever have a chance to check that out, just keep that in mind. You're going to go there and you're going to see some real trash. And I mean, that's why it's the cesspool, right? I mean, I love it. I find myself more and more a denizen of the cesspool the more I listen to Tony's show and am bothered by certain things. Like, these are my people now. But you know, that's not for everybody. And I try to keep a more positive attitude. Even, you know, all the stuff I was talking about earlier with doing a jingle on Tony's show, as much as I've always wanted to do that. And I'm so jealous of that. I also am happy that it actually happened, even though it wasn't me. But at least somebody did that. So maybe someday I'll get to fulfill my dream of doing something outside of a parking lot on Tony's show. But in the meantime, thanks for listening to Derivative. I'll be back here very soon.
Nigel and Gary said, come to the studio and meet Tony. Can't sing on the air, but you can sing in the parking lot. Mm-bop-bop-bop. Up next, I can't believe this. It's Jerry Negrelli again. Oh, how many times is this guy going to sing? I guess Jerry's sponsored by himself because he just keeps putting himself on stage. So, all right. Jerry Negrelli, I guess, everybody.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.